Everybody got ink pen? Okay, here we go. Talking about the biggest member in your body tonight. Maybe not biggest, but the hardest, the most difficult to control and to contain, and that is your tongue. We will, we'll see how this goes. Father, I thank you for your word tonight. I pray, God, that I thank you for each person here tonight, and as uncomfortable as it is to be sang to in that fashion, Lord, it is an honor to be blessed by these people. So, Lord, I pray you bless them for being a blessing to me, and I just pray that you would just, Lord, help me and use me tonight to proclaim the truth of your word. Lord, help me to communicate clearly what you're trying to get across to us tonight, Lord, and more than that, as your people, help us to be able to retain, and not only retain, but to receive and to apply this word to each and every one of our lives tonight, Lord, that it wouldn't be just something that goes in our ear, but Lord, it would be something, God, that you apply to us, and that it would stick to us, and it would challenge us and change us, Lord. And I thank you for that in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen, amen. And amen. Turn to John chapter 3. James, go to James if you want. Some of you can go to John, the rest of you go to James. We will actually be in John in just a little bit tonight, or for just a little bit, but we're not there just quite yet. So, yeah, James chapter 3, starting in verse 9. If you're there, would you stand with me tonight for the reading of God's word? Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It is with it we bless our Lord and our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceeded blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not to be so. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives? Or a grapevine bear figs? Thus no spring yields both salt water and fresh. Father, I pray you'd open our minds and our souls and our spirits to the implanting of your word in us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen and amen. You may be seated. Our contradictory speech often puzzles us. We bless with our mouth and we curse with our mouth. We're going to read in just a little bit in Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. It's going to come across that death and life are in the power of the tongue. You can speak life, you can speak wholeness, you can speak health, you can speak damnation, you can speak curses, you can speak death and destruction with the same tongue. So we have to understand those things. Here's your first fill in the blank. At times, our words are right and pleasing to God. But at other times, they are violent and destructive. So which of these speech patterns really reflects our true identity? I can tell you that as children of God, it ought to be that we speak right words and pleasing words for God. So we're made. How many of you realize that you're made in the image and the likeness of Almighty God? We're made in His image. Now, a lot of people think that if you're made in the image of God, that means that you look like God. That's not what that means. It means that you are made the way He wanted you to be made. He's imparted gifts and talents in every one of our lives. He's done all those things. We are His workmanship in Christ Jesus. And so we're made in God's image, but the tongue, He put the tongue in us, and that tongue gives us a picture of our basic sinful nature. And here's another fill in the blank. God works to change us from the inside out. God is looking to change you and I from the inside out. I got Jesus on the inside working on the outside. Oh, what a change in my life, right? So when the Holy Spirit purifies a heart, He gives self-control so that the person will speak words again that please God. Our speech, our talk ought to be pleasing words to God. And so He gives us control so that we speak words again that please God. So how strange is it then that the tongue is able to speak praises to our Lord and to our Father at one time and then break out in curses against other people with literally the next breath? It's mind-boggling, but yet we do it all the time. We come from a church service worshiping God, praising God, blessing the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name, and go out and get in the car and fight all the way home. You don't do that. Yeah, well. But it happens. It does happen. Amen? It does happen. So we ought to have the same attitude of respect for our brothers and sisters as we have for God, because all of us are created in His image. All of us are created in His likeness. All of us, as children of God, carry with us His Holy Spirit. Yet we have this horrible double-sided tongue so that blessing and cursing come pouring out of the same mouth. The fountain provides cool water that man needs to stay alive. And in Oriental countries, the presence of a freshwater fountain is actually a great blessing to a village. And man needs water not only for drinking, but for washing and for cooking and for farming and all kind of other things that are necessary for life. Try going without water. You can go without food for a lot longer than you can go without water. Amen? How many of you know it takes water to make mud? So if we quit drinking water, being we're made from dirt, the mud begins to dry out. Sorry. Got to keep the mud moist. You got to keep it wet. You got to keep it pliable. Amen? You got to hold your mud. So man, Proverbs 18:4 says, the words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs has a lot to say about the tongue, in case you didn't know. The words of a man's mouth are as deep waters, and the wellspring of wisdom as a flowing brook. Proverbs 18:4. Proverbs 10:11 says this: the mouth of a righteous man is a well of life. Do you get the picture that we ought to be speaking life and wholesome words to one another? Proverbs chapter 13:14 says, the law of the wise is a fountain of life to depart from the snares of death. With the same tongue that you can speak life to somebody, you can speak death with the same tongue. These verses really parallel what James has written and underscore the importance of our words. Our words are important. We shouldn't just let them fly. We ought to think about our words. We ought to care for our words. We ought to check our words before we just spew poison all over everywhere. We don't know what that person behind the counter, the checker, or the person pumping gas that maybe has a bit of a bad attitude today. And so we just take it as an offense to us, and we're ugly right back. What if we spoke some love and kindness to that person? We don't know what they're going through at this moment. Here's another fill in the blank. Water is life-giving, and our words can give life. Water is life-giving, and our words can give life. But if the water's not controlled, we experienced that a little over a year ago, uncontrolled water. We found out real quick what uncontrolled water can do to a building. It can bring death and destruction. In Jamestown, Pennsylvania in 1889, there was a famous flood there, and it took 2,200 lives. It destroyed $10 million in property. Now, mind you, it's in 1889, so $10 million in 1889, that's a lot of money. And that's a lot of destruction. Again, the power of life and death are in the tongue, according to Proverbs chapter 18 and verse 21. But when we bend over a fountain for a drink of cool water, very rarely do we ever think about a flood. We just relish the cool, refreshing water from the fountain. We only think about the precious gift of refreshment that comes from a drink of water. Have you ever been really, really thirsty and drank something other than water, thinking that it was going to refresh you, like a Pepsi or a root beer or something like that? And it's like, man, it does not refresh. Water is what refreshes us. We could not be healthy without water. Proverbs 12 and verse 18 says, there is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. Paul, and again, this is another fill in the blank, Paul's prayer was that he might refresh the saints in Rome when he came to them. He said this in chapter 15 and verse 32 of the book of Romans, that I may come to you with joy by the will of God and may be refreshed together with you. He named Christians oftentimes that had refreshed him. 1 Corinthians 16 and verse 18 talks about it. Philemon, verse 7 and verse 20. Water is also a great cleanser. Water will cleanse. We use water for cleansing all the time. In the Old Testament tabernacle and in the temple, there was a laver, there was a basin that had water in it, and that water was provided for the cleansing of the priest's hands and their feet. If your hands and your feet were clean, the rest of you was good, ceremonially. And God's Word is the spiritual water that He uses to cleanse us. In John chapter 15, I just preached on this Sunday morning, in John chapter 15 and verse 3 says, you're already clean because of the Word, in verse 3. You're already clean. Why? Because of the Word. And then in Ephesians chapter 5 and verses 26 and 27, it talks about the washing of our minds by the Word of God. The Word of God is a great cleanser. Here's a fill in the blank. Our words to others can also help cleanse and sanctify them. How you choose to speak to someone can cleanse and sanctify them. Our words ought to be like the river. If you went to Ezekiel in the Old Testament in chapter 47 and began to read there, you'd read of a water, of a river that flows out from underneath of the temple and the throne there. And you'd read about how everywhere that river went, everything that river touched was healthy. It received health and healing. It brought life. literally to everything that it touched. And the tongue is also delightful because it's like a tree. And in the Bible lands, trees are vitally important to the economy. They help hold down the soil. They provide beauty and they provide shade and they bear fruit. How many of you have ever had a beautiful tree, but in the fall, so messy, so nasty, and you got to deal with all that stuff? I've got an American sweet gum tree in my front yard. It puts out a lot of shade. It's really nice. It's a really pretty tree. It's great, but it's got these balls on it that got spiked. They're like porcupine eggs, man, and they're everywhere. And the leaves get all over everywhere, and they've got these little sticky things that get all over everything. And it's a mess. And I've threatened to cut it down, and I've, you know, but it's still out there. Because sometimes the cleanup is worth the benefit, right? The tongue is like a tree. Our words can help shelter and encourage a weary traveler. They can help to feed a hungry soul. Proverbs 10 and 21 says that the lips of the righteous feed many. The lips of the righteous feed many. Jesus said this in John chapter 6 and verse 3. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. Your words carry power in them. Life or death. And so as we share His Word with others, we feed them and we encourage them all along the way. Are we encouraging one another or do we tear one another down? It is quiet in here tonight. This was supposed to be the fun part. Here's a fill in the blank. Well, let me ask you this first. What is the most important part of a tree? Its roots. That's your word for the fill in. The most important thing about a tree is the root system. If it doesn't have a good root system, any level of wind will blow it over. I've already shared with you about the tree outside of Powers that has always amazed me because it just grows right out of the side of the bank and it's a big old tree, but it's withstood the winds and the rains that are frequented on the coast, and yet it still stands there, and it's been standing there for several hundred years. And it's withstood all of that. And when I look at that, I know instantly in my mind that there's something of a root system on that tree that has went in the dirt and has got a hold of something and is hanging on. And it's really the way we need to be. If the roots don't go down deep, the tree's not going to grow in a healthy manner. And if we are rooted in the things of the Lord, then our words will be the fruit of our fellowship with Him. But we have to be rooted in Him. Here's another fill in the blank. We are to be like the blessed man in Psalm chapter 1 and in Psalm 1 and produce fruit in due season. He's like a man that is like the tree that's planted by the water. And here's another fill in the blank. One reason our Lord was able to say the right words at the right time was because He communed with His Father and heard from heaven every day. Every day, Jesus got up early and He spent time with His Father. Every day. He did that. Isaiah chapter 50 and verse 4 says this, "The Lord God has given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him who is weary. He awakens me morning by morning. He awakens my ear to hear as the learned." And then Mark chapter 1 and verse 35 says this, "Now in the morning, Now in the morning, having risen a long while before daylight, he went out and departed to a solitary place, and there he prayed. This is Jesus, and we're talking about Jesus, and he goes up on the mountain, and he gets himself apart long before daylight, and he spends time with just the Father, him and the Father. He gets his marching orders, if you will. And so if you and I are going to have tongues that delight, then we have to meet with the Lord every day, and we have to spend time with him, and we have to learn from him. Here's another fill in the blank. We must get our spiritual roots deep into his word. We've got to put down some roots. Why? Because it's through the roots that nourishment and water and minerals and all those things that make the tree or the tomato plant or the squash or whatever it is, it all comes out of the dirt through the root system into the body of the tree. So the roots are extremely important. We have to pray and meditate. And we need to permit the Spirit of the Lord to fill our hearts with God's love and with his truth. But here James begins, he issues a warning. A fountain cannot give forth two kinds of water. Hello? A fountain cannot give two kinds of water. A tree can't bear two different kinds of fruit. If you've got an apple tree and you go out every day looking for oranges, you are going to be disappointed for a long, long time. Amen. I mean, because it's just not going to be there. If you plant corn in your garden and expect to get some potatoes out of that, you're in trouble. Because the plants bear fruit after its kind. So if you put a corn seed in the ground, corn's going to come up. If you put a potato in the ground, potatoes are going to grow. They're going to grow under the ground, but they're going to be there. We expect the fountain to flow with sweet water at all times, and we expect the fig tree to bear figs and the olive tree to bear olives. Nature reproduces after its kind. Cows will always produce cattle. Horses will always produce horses. Dogs will, and on we go. If the tongue is inconsistent, there's something wrong with the heart. I read this story about a professing Christian who got angry on the job. That's none of us. We've never done this. He got angry on the job and his tongue got away from him, and he said some things that he wished he hadn't said. He was embarrassed by what he said. He turned to his partner, his co-worker, and he said, "I don't know why I said that. It really isn't in me." And his co-worker wisely replied, "It had to be in you, or it couldn't have come out of you." One of the hardest things I ever did was when we moved to St. George, Utah. They didn't have any logging down there, and so I had to find some other way to make a living, and so I got a job driving a cement mixer. Now, I don't know nothing about cement. All I know is it goes on wet, gets hard, and that's the end of it. That's about it. Pouring concrete is a whole nother deal, and I was not that good at it. I mean, I got better at it as time went on, but in those early days was rough. And this guy that I was pouring this concrete for one day, he was just a very young guy, and you know, he was a very, very mouthy guy, and he was rant, and that was really hard for me. In fact, one day it was harder than I could handle. And I told him, "Listen, if you don't shut your mouth, I'm going to fill your boots with concrete. I will open this thing up and I will bury you." And before I left there, I had to go to that guy and tell him that was what this guy said. That should never have come out of me. I apologize. Would you please forgive? Listen, when you have to do that to the world, it will change how you react sometimes. Because that's not it. Because I really did want to stuff him in a footing. That's what I wanted to do. But I couldn't do that, and I knew that. So it's hard because if it's in you, it's going to come out. And when Peter was out of fellowship with Christ, he uttered some oaths around that campfire. We've all read about it, but he went out and he wept bitterly and he confessed his sin. Listen, the tongue that blesses the Father and then turns around and curses men, made in the image of Almighty God, is in desperate need of some spiritual medicine. If we can get our tongue saved, we are really going somewhere. If we can just get our tongue saved, we are really covering some ground. How easy is it to sing hymns during the worship service and then after the service, get in the car, and I've already touched on this, but argue and fight all the way home? Or get impatient with the waitress or the waiter at the restaurant because they didn't bring my food fast enough or they didn't keep my coffee hot or this, that, and the other thing. We don't know what that person's going through, but yet we get ugly with them. Here's a fill in the blank. The problem, of course, is not the tongue. Pardon me? It's the heart. The problem is not the tongue, it's the heart. It's easy to have bitter envying and strife in our hearts, according to James chapter 3 and verse 14. And in Matthew chapter 15 and verse 18, it says, "But those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and they defile a man." The Bible says this about our heart, that our heart is wicked and deceitful, and you know, it's we need a new heart. We need a new heart. Proverbs 4, verse 23. "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life." So, as we fill our hearts with the Word of God and yield to His Holy Spirit, He can use us to bring delight to others, and we'll be a refreshing fountain and we'll be trees. So, as we begin to wind down this third chapter, Glenda, third chapter, winding it down, third chapter. Listen, let me suggest that we start using the 12 words that can transform your life. Just 12 of them. I'm going to put them on the board. You're going to fill them in. You're going to write them down. There's only 12 of them, but they work. The first two is please. Actually, it's three. Is please and thank you. Those are words that seem to be really lost in our society today. Our kids and a lot of people, young people, they don't know how to say please and thank you. Please and thank you. It's pretty. When you use these words, we treat other people like they're not just some thing, that we actually show them appreciation. When somebody brings you your meal at the restaurant, thank you. I mean, that doesn't cost you anything. It literally don't. I worked for a company right here in this town. And one of the owners of the company was complaining all the time about all these people are just ripping me off all the time. They just, you know, rob me blind. Not physically, but I mean, I guess it would be physical, but not by stealing stuff, but by stealing time. And I said, well, you know what? I said, maybe if you just, in one of our meetings, maybe if you just said, hey, thank you for doing a good job. Thank you for all your heart. Thank you for taking care of my stuff. And thank you, you know, just thank you. I said, it doesn't cost you a dime to tell somebody thank you. Nope, I'm not doing it. I pay them good wages, and that's good enough. And I said, well, that's exactly why you got people ripping you off. That's why people stop alongside the road and take a nap for 30 minutes. Because you don't care. You don't appreciate what people do. You don't take the time to just say, hey, thank you. We need to show appreciation. The next two, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. These two words have a way of breaking down walls and building bridges. Breaking down walls and building bridges. I'm sorry. I apologize. Please forgive me. Here's the next three. I love you. I love you. Too many times people read romance into these words, and it doesn't have to be a romantic phrase. It goes deeper than that. As Christians, we should love the brethren, and even according to the Word of God, love our enemies. I love you is a statement that carries with it tremendous power. How many times have we heard stories about people that have not heard, I love you? Little babies in hospitals that are brand new born babies, they say that if you don't spend time with that baby, if you don't cuddle that baby, if you don't love on that baby, if you don't talk to that baby and tell that baby that you love that baby, it will come. It somehow it gets this thing called failure to thrive because it doesn't feel wanted or whatever, and they just begin to lay there as an infant and die because it doesn't feel the love that it's desperate for. I love you. Here's four more, and this ought to wrap it up for you. I'm praying for you. I'm praying for you. Now, let me just throw this out there. If you say, I'm praying for you, you better be praying for them. It's not a catchphrase. And sometimes we say those words just to, it's uncomfortable, and so let's just move along. I'll pray for you. If you tell somebody you're going to pray for them, you better be praying for them. Be sure that you are praying. And when God talks, or when you talk to God about people, then you can talk to people about God. Right? Our private praying for people helps us in our public meeting with people. We should never say, I'm praying for you in any kind of a boastful way. I'm praying for you is not some kind of badge of honor. I'm praying for you isn't for you to get kudos because you're so spiritual. I'm praying for you because of the last three words. I love you. And because I love you, I'm praying for you. You're not more spiritual than the next person. And by the way, having said that, you don't have to come to the pastors because their prayers are more effective than yours. There's nothing wrong with coming to the prayer team for prayer. That's a great thing. But the problem that we experience is that we attach these ideals to pastors and to the prayer team that they're the only ones that can pray. And that's not true. Little Casey Cole comes to this altar oftentimes and lays it. His prayers are probably as effective or more than some other people's. Your prayer is powerful. You have power in your prayer. We say these in an encouraging way so that we can let others know that I care enough about you to meet you at the throne of grace. I care enough about you. I love you enough to hold you up. Prayer changes you. The smallest, but the largest troublemaker in the world is right there. It's your tongue. It really is. But it does not have to be a troublemaker. God can use our tongues to direct others into the way of life, to delight them in the trials of life. The tongue is a little member, but it has great power. It has great power. A match can ignite wildfire. The rudder on a ship can, it's little, but it can turn that mighty vessel. Give your tongue, this is your last fill in the blank. Give your tongue and your heart each day. Give God, rather, your tongue and your heart every day and ask Him to use you to be a blessing to others. God, how can I speak life to somebody? How can I be an encouragement to somebody? How can I bless somebody with my words? We don't have a problem tearing people down. Hello. We can get right after it. But when it comes to building others up, we sometimes have a little trouble. We're going to pick this up in verse 13 next week, Lord willing, and carry on. Amen? Did anybody miss anything? Pardon me? What'd you miss? Heard and every day. No problem. Got them? Anybody else? Well, Bill's the first one at the donuts, man. Hallelujah, man. He's like, well, look at them cupcakes right there. My golly. Amen. Any comments tonight? Any questions? Yeah, happy birthday. Thanks, Dennis. Happy birthday? Thanks, Dennis. Yeah, 46. Yeah. Yes, sir. 67. Thanks, Dennis. Any comments or questions? What even is that? I'll take it. 6-7 means that God created everything on earth in 6 days, and on the seventh day, He rested. That's pretty cool. I like that a lot. Yeah. All right. You guys, let's pray. Let's pray. Let's pray and have cupcakes, all right? Amen. Amen. Father God, I thank you for your word. I thank you for the truth of your scripture, God, that, Lord, every one of us need some kind of help with our tongue, Lord. And I just pray tonight that you would bring blessing to us, Lord. Help us to be more, our tongues to be more of a blessing than a curse to those that we are around. Lord, I pray you help us to learn from this word. Help us to be transformed by your word. And help us, oh God, to speak words of life to one another. Help us to speak the four words, please and thank you, or the 12 words, please and thank you, I'm sorry, I love you, and I'm praying for you. And Lord, help us to mean them from the bottom of our heart, and I thank you for it. I pray for the ladies meeting in the morning. I pray, God, that they would have a great time. I pray, Lord, for men's breakfast on Saturday, and I pray, Lord, that for Sunday service, that, Lord, that lives would be changed and transformed because we've been in your presence and we've heard your word, and we thank you for it all in Jesus' name. And bless the donuts or the cupcakes and the cookies. Bless it all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thanks for joining us tonight by way of the internet. We appreciate you being here with us. God